All right, if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. This week and next week, we're going to wrap up the Sermon on Mount. I can't remember how long we've been here, but we've got another this week and next week. But let me get into it. Let me read it, and then we'll dive into it. Because these are the last words of Jesus during his sermon. So let me pray first. Father, we want to be people who hear your words and do them. We want to be wise. We don't want to be fools. In order to do that, Lord, we need to build our house upon you, our rock and our salvation. So, Lord, allow us to do this, Lord, from those areas that, Lord, we don't follow you or that your words have fallen on deaf ears and hard hearts. Lord, please soften us. Please allow us to repent and believe your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So I have never heard anyone say, maybe except for in a joke, that I've never heard anyone say, I want to be a fool. Right? Like, I want to be a fool. However, this scripture shows us that if we don't listen to Jesus, if we don't allow his voice to change our life, then guess what we are?
Fool.
A fool. That's right. Fools. Thank you, son. We can hear the words of Jesus with our ears and only and never let them actually impact our lives. And in that, we'd also be fools. We can sit around and at our houses and read the words of Scripture every single day, never let them sink in and change our lives. And in that, we'd be fools. In other words, we can have all the knowledge, all the theology, all the right answers in the world. We can know all these things and still live as fools. Real wisdom comes in the ability to discern what we're hearing and act on what we've been taught. Knowing something doesn't mean we have all the wisdom to implement it in our lives, in our actions, and our actions actually determine if we are wise or not. So real wisdom gets played out in our actual life. But you know what else does? Foolishness. When Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be a wise man, it shows that we can hear the words of Jesus and not do them. And truth is, right, we all do this to a certain degree. We all are a little foolish, maybe even me most of all, since I preach about it as well. So, but when we work to allow the words of Jesus to speak into our lives, we are allowing the words of Jesus to change us. Because you know what? We need to be changed by Jesus. We don't want to be hearers only, amen? So let us be wise and apply the words of Jesus to our life. Here, Jesus is ending the Sermon on the Mount with these words. He's saying, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, do those. Go and do them. He's saying at least to us who can go back and read it, he's saying, go back, meditate it, memorize it. But not only that, like the kingdom of heaven is I am instructing you to live that out, not just with outward actions, even though that's an important part, but with your hearts as well and your minds as well. Please, Jesus is saying here, he's saying, please don't be a fool. Please don't be a fool. Be wise. That is why he is giving us this instruction. So I'm gonna speak for all of us here. We don't want to be fools. Amen? Like, we don't want to be fools. We can say that with our mouth, and so let's apply that to our lives and be hearers of Jesus' words, Let it sink down into our hearts, so then we are doers of Jesus' words. We need to settle this in our hearts. Although the sermon of the all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus promises that it will not go well for us if we follow him. We can see it over and over. Here he uses the metaphor of a storm. Rains, flood, winds. A storm that not only pushes trees over, but houses as well. So it's a strong storm. And Jesus wants us to be able to remain standing through and standing after the storms of life come and hit us. He wants us to endure till the end with him forever and ever. Amen. And I pray that we will be wise and that we will still be found with him standing at the end of all things. So storms in life can come in all sorts of ways, right? There are those who suffer from physical pains that cause this storm in their body. And then we've also seen that there can be spiritual abuse that we've endured. And so in that is storms that, you know, maybe we've set our rock on a leader, or we've set our rock on some other like pet theology instead of on Jesus, right? And we've endured this because that's what we were taught. It can be a storm, can be mental blockages, like things that we just can't get past. And Jesus lets us know about persecution in the Sermon on the Mount over and over. In fact, he assures us that we will have to endure some persecution if we are going to follow him. It comes in unexpected places, and scriptures point out that it comes from unexpected enemies, not just people who hate God, although it does come from haters of God, but it also comes from those we love sometimes. Psalm 55, 12 through 14 points this out clearly. For me, it is not an enemy. This is David praying. For me, it's not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me. Then I could hide from it. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng, and that was severed. This is a storm. One that Jesus, by the way, also endured, because Jesus was not only betrayed by his disciple Judas, but it was his friend Judas. Someone that he took, maybe not sweet counsel, he probably counseled, but they fellowshiped together. Jesus called him friend. And this is who abandoned Jesus, his companion. But at the end of the day, the truth is storms come. And I want the kids in here to hear this. Storms come. There's no question about it. They will come in life. Sometimes it will take the form of false teachers. Sometimes it will come from pastors and church leaders that stop listening to and following Jesus, and they can do much damage. Or I should say, because I am a pastor and I've certainly hurt people and done damage because I've ignored the words of Jesus and acted out of my own will and my own way. And it's not right. And I pray that I won't do that at all, ever again. But our foundations are not to be built on anyone other than, church answer, Jesus. Always and forever Jesus. That's who we're supposed to build our foundation is. Jesus is letting us know that storms will come, and if you want to endure, make sure your foundation is in the right place. He is letting you know before the storms come, the one that I want you to endure, that Jesus wants you to endure. So Jesus says, place your faith in me. Place your faith in me. You may not ever understand everything I ask of you, but this is what Jesus says. I will never fail you, because he cannot fail God as Father. Jesus, with these last words, is giving us a choice to hear and obey. So to put into practice what he's taught us, or to ignore it altogether and go about business as usual. Jesus knows that these words that he is giving us will not be easy to live out. He knows we live in a culture that is counter to much of what he is saying. And he asks us, though, to keep our eyes on the founder and perfecter of our faith, and that's Jesus. We've all heard this with our ears, the words of Jesus. Now, what are we going to do with it? R.T. Wright says this about this text. It all comes down to doing what Jesus has set before them. The alternative is an imagery of the parable, total collapse. So followers of Jesus, those who profess Jesus as Lord, listen and listen well. That's what he's saying here. Listen and listen well. Do these words of Jesus. Set our entire life upon him and make him our foundation. So in that, I'm saying not the world, not church, not psychology or science, not your past, not your trauma, not your successes or your achievements, not your personal viewpoints, not your politics, not your money, no matter if you have a lot or a little, not your likes and dislikes. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. His words, his life, his instruction, and his friendship towards us. This friendship and his lordship. He is Lord of our lives. And to allow Jesus to be Lord is to rest on him, right? So that's what a house does. It rests on a foundation. We rest on him, his grace alone through faith. That is what we need. We need faith because we can't always see how much Jesus loves us, because storms will come. I promise you that. Questions will arise. As you walk with Jesus, questions will arise. Things that we absolutely don't understand, things that won't make sense in the words of Jesus that we will see. We live in an environment that is hostile to the gospel. Word that's hostile to the words and ways of Jesus. Yet, let us be wise. Let us set our lives on Jesus. Not just our moments, although it includes our moments, but our entire life, every single moment. It doesn't matter what we have to give up to follow him, because we follow because he is our foundation and Jesus is what our lives are based on. Amen? We can look at a house. Amen? I love looking at houses. We can see a house. We can build it up. We can look at it and it can look really nice to every passerby. People can come and comment on it. People can come and take photos of it. One of my favorite magazines is Dwell Magazine, an architecture magazine. And in this, people go and take pictures of cool architecture and they put it in there and you can look at it. It looks amazing. And then we can see that houses can be decorated and adorned with gold and silver and fine art and the best furniture. And in this, I'm talking about our lives. We can live a life where people can give us kudos. Oh, look at you. Look at this. People can look at us and think that we have it all together. We have a nice facade. We have a nice outward appearance or whatever it may be, things that people look up to. People can believe that all is well with us. Not only all is well, but all is admirable. People can do this in our lives. And if our life isn't set on Jesus, if our life isn't set on his words and his words set into action, our lives will fall, because despite how nice and fancy the house's adornments are, the foundation's off. The foundation is off. Hear these words. Hear these words of Jesus. Do this to follow Jesus. So when he says, hear my words, it's like, hear my words equals follow what Jesus has for us. This Sermon on the Mount is how Jesus' followers are supposed to live. Jesus wants to help us live. He told us that he has come to give us life and life abundantly. So this sermon, Jesus' words, this is how we live, and this is a life he wants for us. So we get to pay attention to it. Pay attention to his teaching in this. That's why, so we do Bible classes with the kids, and right now we're just going to go through the Sermon on the Mount until they hit high school. Then we'll do Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, because it contains so much of the teachings of Jesus. And I'm hoping that we can pay attention to his teachings, learn them, and apply them to our lives. So think of this. Jesus is preaching this sermon, and there are those who will hear and do, and those who will just hear. They are sitting on, side by side on this Galilean mountain, right? The Sermon on the Mount, it's probably a hill to you and I because we live in a very mountainous region. But even though it is one, even though it is one group, they all have some who have heard in terms of the words coming out of Jesus' mouth, but the proof will be in their changed lives. Can we listen? Because we can hear and not listen, or we can listen and not hear, right? Hearers do the words spoken. This is true of that original crowd that Jesus spoke to, and it is true of all those throughout history who have heard these words and dismissed them with their lives, even if they agreed to them theologically. This could be us today. Some may hear and do, others may not. And I pray that we are doers, not just hearers. So scriptures tell us that faith without works is dead. It also tells us we don't earn salvation through our works. We also don't earn salvation through our wisdom. However, we get to put our life where our ears are. We hear and we believe the good news of Jesus, the good words of Jesus. And then you know what we do? We go and we do them, or we live them out. And in this, we build our life upon Jesus. We live the words that he has taught us to live, and this is the active gospel life that Jesus gives to us. You know what? When we mess up, we get to repent and believe the gospel. That's what we get to do. We get to set our lives on Jesus as we live differently. So in that, we get to extend grace because we've been given so much of it. It's not for us to hoard. We get to give it away. We get to act in love. You know why? Because Jesus has loved us so well. We get to weather storms in all forms because our eyes are fixed on Jesus and not fixed on the storms. We want good for one another, the good life that Jesus has for us. And it is good even if it isn't always easy. This sermon of Jesus, I love this, a commentator said this, this sermon of Jesus should not be a lofty goal set out for us. It should be our normal. It should be our normal. And if we read over, we're going to read it next week, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's not easy. But we get to count the cost of following Jesus. That's the cost of discipleship with him as we live the life that we live. We will go through the entire sermon next week as we end our time in the Sermon on the Mount. But we are never going to leave the Sermon on the Mount. We're only going to dive deeper into the life that Jesus has laid out for us to live. The cost is high, but the burden and the yoke are light. It is not easy, but maybe that's why millions have heard this, but only a few follow it. I want to point out a few elements of our foundation that Jesus has instructed us on. Let us be hearers and doers. As we look to Jesus as our foundation, these words are the words of life, the words of life that he lived for us perfectly. And these are hard words, even though they should be our normal, and Jesus lived, and thus it's our foundation for living as well. So he says this, blessed are those, and he goes through a whole bunch, poor in spirit, those who mourn, blessed are the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, blessed are the persecuted and those who are reviled. This is how we get to live. And these blessings are complete with rewards that we will look at next week. But that's how we get to live. As poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and those who are sometimes reviled. Another way we get to live is we get to be salt and light. We get to bring the seasoning of grace into every situation we walk into, and we get to bring light into dark places. That's how we get to live. That's how Jesus lived. That's our foundation. Jesus teaches us that it's not just our actions that matter. It is our hearts as well. This is true for anger, for lust, for divorce, through oaths and retaliation, because Jesus said, love your enemy, and pray for those who persecute you. These are the words that needed to work their way down into our hearts, not just as adornments, but as actions as well. Jesus also instructs us in this sermon to deal generously with all things, but he points out our money. We don't give so that we can be noticed. We give because we've been given so much and we trust that it's not going to run out. We are also, in this, we are also instructed to be people of prayer. Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer that we did actually pray today, right? Amen. Thank you for slides, because I would have forgotten it. That we prayed today. He teaches us to be people of prayer who give all the credit to our good and gracious Father and ask that his will be done, not ours. Jesus teaches us how to fast. He lays out that there are areas of our life where we might need to give up. There are areas where we might need to sacrifice. And he shows us that our fasting, as well as our prayers and as well as our giving, is done to the glory of God and not done so that others may see it. Because we are laying treasures up where? Here on earth or in heaven? In heaven. Amen. That's what we get to do. Jesus then gives us a new normal of not worrying. How many, like, that's hard, right? Never worry. Don't, why do you need to worry about your clothes or your food or your bodies these days, right? Like, we seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the things that we need will be given unto us. That's what Jesus tells us. That's how we live this life. That's how, that's foundational to the way that we live our lives. And then not only as we're doing that, we don't judge others. Instead, we get to extend grace. This one's hard for me. This is more than the worrying. This one's mine. Instead, we are gracious. We treat people how we want to be treated. We don't point out all the wrongs that others do. Instead, we inspect our lives, make sure that we are clean and before Jesus, and we live our lives and we repent. And in this, another foundational piece is we trust God. And as we do, we will bear fruit. We are humble and we listen to Jesus. So as we live this life, as our foundation is built on Jesus, we dive deeper into these things. These are not easy. We can't do this perfectly. Yet we practice these things as our new normal, as our life with Jesus. And Jesus knows this. This is why Jesus is our foundation, as he taught us. All this, everything that is in the Sermon on the Mount, is unobtainable without Jesus. His life was lived. Amen. He was no fool. His life was given for us, and it is the wisdom of God to set us in right relationship with him. Jesus forgiving us of our sins through the cross on which he died in our place is the wisdom of God. Jesus is not a fool for dying in your place. Amen. He is no fool for giving you the life that he has lived to perfection. Jesus' body on the cross, his blood shed, is the wisdom of God to win to him a new people, you and me. It's the wisdom of God for forgiveness and grace. And so is the resurrection. Amen. I love that Jesus isn't dead. I love that we don't serve a dead God, that he's alive, and we get to let the resurrection surprise us each and every week. Let us live in the wisdom of Jesus' resurrection. I pray that Jesus' life was proven to be the way, the truth, and the life, the one that we set our foundation on, the way that we get to live as our lives are hidden in his. So, Grace and Mercy Church, let us be wise. Let us be wise. Let us live the life that Jesus has for us. Let us hear the words and then heed his words. Live out his sermon that he has preached to us and do the words of Jesus, not just listen to them, not just memorize them, but allow them to change our lives. And so, Jesus, we come before you asking that you will change our lives, that you will do this work in Jesus' name, that you will allow us to come before you and in areas where we miss and we mess up, please allow us to repent and just live out your gospel, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.